want to look at the Bible, it's on page 1286. Hebrews 13, commencing at verse 7 to 19. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by food, which has not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burnt outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as though they will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honourably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you sooner. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we're continuing our series this morning in the book of Hebrews. And we've been saying that Hebrews, reminding ourselves that Hebrews was written to people who were going through a time of difficulty in their life. They were experiencing trials and struggles and temptations and difficulties. And the book of Hebrews was written to encourage them to keep going, to keep pressing on, not to give up, not to lose hope. And in chapter 13, we've been seeing that one of the ways the writer says, one of the things that the writer says will help you keep going in your life is by being part of a robust, loving community that serves one another. And you need to be part of that community if you're going to make it through life. And today what we're thinking about in these verses that Marjorie read is the life of the community. What does this community look like? And there's three parts of the passage. You might have noticed that at the start and at the end of the passage, it talks about leaders, verse 7 and verse 17. In fact, verses 7 to 9 and verses 17 to 19 talk about leaders. And the middle section is the focus of the passage and is a section, talks about altars, talks about sacrifices, and is a section all about the centre of the Christian message. So I'm going to leave that middle bit, as it were, the meat in the sandwich for next week. And this week I want us to look at those two ends, those two pieces of bread, as it were, either side of that middle section. I want us to be thinking this morning about leaders. Because the writer here at the end of the book of Hebrews is saying, you need to be part of a robust, loving community. And that community needs to have leaders. And so there's three things about leaders I want us to see. I want us to see why we need them, what they're to do, and how we should respond to them. So the reason for leaders, the role of leaders, and the response to leaders. The reason for leaders, the role of leaders, and the response to leaders. First of all, the reason for leaders. Let's be honest, we live in Manchester. And so I know some of you are from more traditional cultures who've come to Manchester. But Manchester generally doesn't like leaders. We're not a city which likes leadership. We are a city which likes individualism. We're not a city that, we're not individuals in Manchester who like people telling us what we are to do. You know, I live my life my way. You live your life your way. You don't tell me what to do. I won't tell you what to do. I think that's the general culture we have in Manchester. You know, nobody is higher than anyone else. Nobody is better than anyone else. No one tells anyone else what to do. And many of us in the church have come, and so we're sceptical about leaders, I think, in Manchester. And in the church, we can be sceptical about leaders as well. Not just because we live in Manchester, but because we've seen bad examples of leadership. You know, many of us have come across leaders who've been dictators in churches. You know, very controlling and with forceful personalities, and what they say, that goes. We've come across leaders who've stolen money from churches and from people. We've come across Christian leaders who've had affairs. We've also come across leaders who've been involved in the abuse of children. And so that can make us sceptical about not only leaders in general, but about Christian leaders in particular, which is what this passage is talking about. And many of us are not only sceptical, but we don't want Christian leaders and people speaking into our lives and telling us what to do. I remember once I was at a meeting, and where a church member actually said publicly to the minister of the church, just because you say something, just because you want this thing to happen, doesn't mean it's going to happen. Just because you tell us what to do, doesn't mean we're going to do it. That can often be our attitude to leadership. And so in light of all that, why are leaders necessary? Now I realise I need to make a good case here because my job's on the line. But why do we need to have leaders in the church? Well, we're told in verse 17. The reason we need leaders is because leaders keep watch over your souls. See, as human beings, we're made up of two parts. We're made up of a body. We're made up of souls. We often find lots of different people to look after our bodies. Doctors, dentists, hairdressers, Primark. We find lots of people to look after our bodies, but we need people to look after our souls, to watch over our souls. And that word keep watch, it's the same idea that you find in Psalm 121 about God never slumbering or sleeping, God keeping watch over us by day, God keeping watch over us by night. And that's the idea. The idea is that we have leaders in our lives who are alert, who are watchful, who are diligent, who are tireless, who look out for us, who lose sleep because they care for us and are bothered about us, and who are bothered about our souls. That is, leaders who are bothered about our spiritual state, who are bothered about our relationship with God, who are bothered that you make it to heaven. Because that's the context of the book of Hebrews. The context of the book of Hebrews is about perseverance and making it from here to there, from now to the final day, from Manchester to the city that is to come. And leaders are there to watch over your souls so that you make it, so that you get there. You see, we said a couple of weeks ago that making it to heaven is a community project. You can't make it to heaven by yourself. You need other people to help you and encourage you on your way. You need to be part of a community. And leaders of that community have a special responsibility to help you, to support you, to encourage you, to challenge you, to spur you on. You know, we see in the Olympics all these athletes performing great feats and breaking world records. And every athlete has a coach. And why do they have coaches? You know, why don't they just do stuff themselves? Well, but they have coaches because the coaches help them perform better than they would otherwise. You know, if they were left to themselves, they wouldn't quite train as hard. Or they wouldn't quite know as clearly how they should run that race. You see, as Christians, we need that as well. See, many of us, let's be honest, in life, are happy to cut corners. And there's days where we're happy to be Christian and live as a Christian. But there's other days where we would, you know, rather just do things our own way. You know, and let's be honest, if I was left to myself, you know, that would be dangerous. I need people to encourage me and to point me in the right direction. And that's why we have leaders in churches. And not just one leader, but I think the Bible says, and it says here, we need leaders, more than one leader. We need a number of people who make the final decision. We call them elders in church, who through their example and through their words can encourage us to keep going. We need deacons in church, we call them the PCC, who can love and serve and encourage us to love and serve each other. See, we need leaders in our lives who can watch over our souls. Let me ask you, who is watching over your soul? Who's helping you make it to heaven? You know, are you a member of church? Are you a member of this church? Are you a member of another church? Are you putting yourself under some leaders who can care for you and help you make it to heaven? And maybe you're here this morning and you've been put off by organizational church. You've been put off by leaders who've let you down. People you've looked to as examples and who just haven't been what you thought they were. Right, if that's you, then that can put you off being a member of a church. That can put you off being part of an organization which has leaders. But you think about your own soul. You need leaders if you're going to make it to heaven. That might put you off, but be more concerned with your soul. Become a member of a church. Come under some leadership. Be under people who are going to pray for you and help you make it to heaven. So the second question we're looking at is this: how do leaders do that? That's why we need leaders, but how do they do that? What's the role of leaders? Well, the role of leaders, according to this passage, I think there's two main things that leaders do. Leaders are to teach right and to live right. First of all, they're to teach right. That's what he says in verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. You see, the primary thing about leaders in churches is they're to teach. They're to impart information. And not just any general information, it's specific. That's why it says in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, that seems a bit random. Why have you just thrown that verse in there, writer to the Hebrews? And the reason is this: the leaders are supposed to teach about Jesus Christ. The primary message of leaders in churches is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That is the job of leaders. See, the job of leaders is to tell us about who Jesus Christ is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, leaders are supposed to tell us about the wonderful Son of God. See, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, ultimately never had a beginning. You know, we remember 2,000 years ago how he was born in a stable as a man. But before that, he existed as the eternal Son of God. He has always been, and he always will be in the future. See, This verse here is a bold claim that Jesus Christ is God himself. He's not just any ordinary man. Not just a teacher. Not just a prophet. Not just a religious leader. He's God himself. You know, this is one of the things that sets Christianity apart from every other religion and worldview, because Christianity is the only one that says that Jesus Christ is God. And teachers in the church, leaders in the church, are supposed to tell us about him. But they're not just to tell us about him generally, that he is the eternal Son of God, but they're to tell us what he's done. They're to tell us about his wonderful work on the cross. Because he is the same yesterday, today and forever. You see, when Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago on the cross, he accomplished salvation once for all. On that cross, he died for all our brokenness, all our mess, all our mistakes, all our flaws. They were all placed on him at the cross 2,000 years ago. And his work is the same then as it is now. And it will never change. In other words, Jesus Christ died once for all means that you can never add to his work. You can never take away from his work. In other words, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Don't think Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, but now I need to do something to add to that. Jesus Christ died once for all. He finished his work on the cross 2,000 years ago. And his salvation doesn't change. You see, that's what leaders are supposed to tell us about. They're supposed to tell us about Jesus Christ, about what he has done. They're supposed to tell us about Jesus Christ, who he is. You see, we sometimes think that what a minister and what church leaders believe is important, and it is. But what ministers and church leaders teach is equally important. Because it's possible to believe something and yet not talk about it. It's possible to assume the gospel of Jesus Christ. But ministers are supposed to be teaching it. Because ultimately, if you do not teach about Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel, then you'll teach about something else. And that's what he warns the Hebrews about in verse 9. He says, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. That word led away is the idea of being carried downstream. And the strange teachings are new ideas which have been put forward in the church. And what was the ideas being put forward? Well, it says, for it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods. You know, the teachings were something like this. Yes, we know that Jesus Christ died. You need to believe in him. But in order to live as a Christian, you need to do certain things as well. Eat certain things or not eat other things. Yes, Jesus Christ died on that cross. But you need to keep yourself and make yourself a Christian by the way you live. You see, ultimately, there's only two things that a church leader can teach about. A church leader can either teach about God's grace and how Jesus Christ died in our place and we're accepted by God through him alone. Or a church leader can come and say, yes, we all believe in Jesus, of course, but you need to do certain things. You need to live in a certain way. Whether it's eating certain foods, whether it's performing certain rituals, whether it's obeying certain laws, it doesn't really matter. Because ultimately what they're saying is, your salvation depends on you. It's by what you do, rather than by what Jesus Christ has done. Now, yeah, we need to live nice lives. We need to be kind to our neighbours. We need to love our neighbours as ourselves. But that does not get us to heaven. The only thing that gets us to heaven is the grace of God. And that's why our hearts, that's the centre of who we are, needs to be strengthened by that knowledge, by that grace, that it's Jesus alone who is the Saviour. It's Jesus alone who has accomplished on that cross the forgiveness of sins. It's through him that we make it to heaven. It's not through him and us, it's through him. I said in my first ever sermon here at church that I wanted the content of the messages here at church to be the person and work of Jesus Christ. And now if you hear messages here at church where the content isn't the person and work of Jesus Christ, you need to say something about it. Because we need our hearts strengthened by grace. I heard a story about a church in America. And in the church there was an African-American lady who was passionate about her faith. And preachers would come and preach in the church. But if she felt that the preacher wasn't talking about Jesus Christ, she would say something as they were preaching. And so they'd be preaching away, and she would say, "Get him up," meaning men talk about Jesus. And if the preacher didn't take the subtle hint, then she would say slightly louder, "Get him up." If they didn't take that hint, then she would begin to say louder and slower, "Get him up." Now, that might not be Manchester culture. Maybe there is one or two of you here who might be up for doing that. But that should be the desire of our hearts. You know, if our leaders are not telling us about Jesus Christ, then we need to be saying, "Get him up! Tell us about him! We don't want to hear this and that and the other. We don't want to hear about politics. We don't want to hear about social concern. Those things are good things. We want to hear about Jesus Christ. He's the content of our message because he is our Saviour." Church leaders are supposed to teach about Jesus Christ. But they're not just to teach about him. They're supposed to live in light of what they teach. That's why the writer to the Hebrews says this in verse 18. "Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honourably in all things." The writer is saying this. It's not just that I believe in Jesus Christ, but I am seeking, we are seeking to live holy lives. We're seeking to follow his example by the way we live. You know, it's true that all of us as Christians are to pursue holiness in our lives. We're to follow the example of Jesus Christ, but leaders especially. And I think there's a higher standard of godliness and holiness required of leaders than the rest of the congregation, because leaders are supposed to be our examples. We're supposed to look to leaders and go, I'm following you as you follow Christ. You are my example of Jesus Christ. I want to live like you because you live like him. As I say that, I'm challenged. And it is challenging, but that's the way it is. It's the same in families, isn't it? We have certain rules in our family about how we are supposed to eat our meals, and one of those rules is we do not eat our meals while looking at the iPad. And we say this to the boys, you know, you do not look at the iPad while eating our meal. But I remember the other day when we were eating, and I was keen to check the football scores, and so I was looking. And, you know, I thought I'd have a sneak peek at the football scores. But our boys are at the age now where they don't just hear what I'm saying, but they realise what it means for me as well as for them. And so they said, "Daddy, you're on the iPad. You know, you say we can't go on the iPad at meals, so you're." Don't you think you need to practice what you preach? They didn't call me a hypocrite, but you know, that would have been the next step. We need leaders who are going to model what they're talking about. And it's one of the issues, I think, with very large churches, or with the God Channel, if you watch that, or with sermons that we listen to online, which I love to do. We don't know the character of the people we're listening to. We're not involved in their lives. We don't see what they do after they've preached that wonderful sermon. We don't see whether they're going off and praying or going off and sleeping with the church secretary. You know, leaders need to teach right, but they need to live right. But finally, how do we respond to leaders? Well, there's two groups of leaders mentioned in this passage, and so there's two ways we need to respond to them. The first group of leaders are mentioned in verse 7. It says, remember your leaders. And the leaders that it talks about in verses 7 to and 8 are leaders who have died. And it says in verse 7, there's three ways we need to respond to those leaders. We need to remember them, consider them, and imitate them. These leaders mentioned in verse 7 are probably people who helped to found the church in the first place. Maybe many of the people who this letter was written to had become Christians under their ministry. And now these people had died. And the writer says, remember those people. Fix your eyes on those people as you would on Jesus Christ. Remember what they taught. Remember how they lived. You know, here at church we've got a list of former ministers, rectors at church, on the wooden board. I know a couple of them. Some of you know more than that. Some of those men are no longer with us. Remember those people who spoke to you the word of God in the 1930s, in the 1940s, in the 1950s. Those people who told you about Jesus Christ. It might not have been ministers here at church. It might have been Sunday school teachers. It might have been your parents. It might have been your grandparents. Remember those people. It might have been people you've never met, but whose books you've read. People who maybe died a century ago or five centuries ago, but you've read their books and you've read about what they've done, and that changed your life. You know, there's a time when most Christians in this country had a book on their bookshelf called The Fox's Book of Martyrs. And in it, it spoke about 300 or so martyrs who had died down through the centuries. Many of whom had died under Queen Mary's reign in the 16th century. And Christians had that on the bookshelf because they were looking and remembering those people who had faith and who lived as Christians and died as Christians. We're to remember them. But we're not just to remember them. We're to consider the outcome of their way of life. The word outcome there is the result. Maybe even the exit of their way of life. The way they died and the result and the stuff that resulted from their life. You know, that's why I think it's really important to have people that we look to as leaders who are dead. You know, you and I don't know how our current leaders are going to finish. You don't know how I'm going to finish my life, whether I'm going to be Christian in 50 years' time and die as a Christian, or whether I'm going to go off beam somewhere. You don't know whether that's the case for anybody. But the people who've died, you do. You can look at their life and see the way they lived and see the way they died and say, I want to live my life like that. I want to have faith like they have faith. In fact, that's the final thing we're told. We're told, imitate their faith. Don't imitate their actions, but imitate their faith. Don't imitate the particular ways they expressed their faith 20 years ago or 200 years ago, but imitate the faith itself, the engine of their life, the thing that made them Christian, the thing that made them live as they lived. You know, I've got a list of heroes, leaders down through the centuries who I look to and go, I want to be like them. I want to have faith like them. Two of my greatest heroes are bishops from the 16th century who got burnt at the stake in 1555 in Oxford. One's called Bishop Latimer, the other's called Bishop Ridley. And these are bishops of the Church of England who were burnt alive. And they were burnt alive because they said, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They said, it's not by performing rituals. It's not by obeying rules. It's simply by faith in him. And the Queen, Queen Mary at the time, didn't like that. And so she burnt them. And when they were being burnt, Bishop Latimer said to his friend Bishop Ridley, be of good cheer, Master Ridley. Let us play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out. That is a leader to look up to. We need leaders in our lives. Leaders who we can imitate. But we don't just need dead leaders. We need living ones as well. It says here, verse 17 to 19 talks about living leaders, and this is how we should relate to them. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Now, I realise it's a bit awkward for me to say that. But that's what the Bible says. We're to obey our leaders in church. It does feel a bit weird, to be honest, saying you must obey me. But let's read what the Bible says. To obey means to trust someone's authority. And to submit means to give way when you don't agree. You see, we need leaders in our churches. But we need to obey our leaders and submit to them. Even if we don't like all the things that they decide to do. But we can do that knowing that our leaders in churches have a leader. That's what it says. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. You see, the leaders of churches, myself and the other elders here at church, we will have to give an account before God of the way we lead. And so one reason you can trust leaders rather than criticize them or judge them is because God's ultimately going to judge us. And God's going to say to me, Jumpy, how did you lead? Did you watch carefully over the souls of St. Clement's? Did you do things at St. Clement's to serve the souls of the congregation? You know, leadership is a serious business. Leaders will have to give an account. And give an account to the ultimate leader, who is Jesus Christ himself, who showed us the example of what leadership involved. Because he said, this is the good news. The good news is about me, Jesus Christ. I am the king. I have come to die and rise again to bring salvation to this world. And then he followed through on that. Became the lowest, became the servant of servants in order to bring us back to God. And so he's the model for all leaders. He's the servant king. And so as leaders, that is what we need to emulate, because that is the person we're accountable to. See, leadership is hard. And therefore, as a congregation, what we're to do is to pray for our leaders. That's what it says in verse 18. Pray for them. Pray that they would stay faithful. Pray that they would keep teaching about Jesus Christ. Pray for me that I would be holy in the way I live and be an example to us all. But don't just pray for leaders, but obey them and submit to them. That means don't grumble. Don't mourn when things aren't quite as they should be or as you think they should be. If the flowers are in the wrong place, or the guitars are slightly out of tune, or the sermon's 5 minutes too long. But make it your business to help the leaders at church lead with joy. Because then I and the other leaders will be keen to serve, will be keen to watch over, will be keen to help you make it to heaven. Now, it's quite hard to preach all that, but I've done it. We need to be part of a church community which is robust, which has leaders, and where we can help each other make it to heaven. That's the aim of it all. So pray for me that I would do that, and I'll pray for you that you'll do that as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us leaders. Thank you for the leaders we have in our country. Thank you for Theresa May. Thank you for the Queen. Thank you for the leaders here in Manchester of our council. Thank you, you've given us leaders who can help order our society right. But we thank you even more for the Christian leaders we have. The leaders who have spoken the word of God to us, who've pointed us to Jesus Christ, both in their words and in their example. And I pray, Lord, here at St. Clement's, that you would help us to help our leaders serve us with joy, that we might all on that final day look each other in the face and say, we have made it. We've got to heaven because you have given us the grace to help each other get here. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our ultimate leader, and he's the one we ultimately look to, our servant king. We thank you for him in Jesus' name. Amen.